Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Where are you guys at with Marvel right now, I guess is the question. Because I think we're... Obviously we've talked about superhero fatigue and everybody understands that's a real thing. And I think the TV shows, you know, sure, propel that, and you know. But we are getting... I mean, how do I not tip what I'm going to say about this movie? We are getting to the point where, okay, we have to... They're gearing up for like a new phase, mm-hmm, you know, yeah, and we have a couple new movies coming out, and it is also the point of like some of these people are gonna maybe want to stop doing them, but though, is that even true actually?
Does everybody keep coming back?
I'd be surprised every time they're like, we might have another Thor movie. I'm like, he still wants to do those?
But I guess they just make so much money doing it.
Yeah.
Somehow it's hard to talk about this without talking about the state of the world and like, or not that this isn't a political podcast, but there is something about the fact
this
that just like people want to keep making money. Like everybody is like, we're so infected by like global capitalism and the stock market and the like need for people to like make money that, like the things that you thought artists would do, like people being like, I'm not going to do commercials, or I'm not going to do a bunch of like these sequels, or like all that stuff feels like, yeah, it's just nobody cares anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And given, I mean, I think given that thing we've been talking about of like how there aren't any stars anymore. I mean, it's sort of snake eating its own tail, I guess. But,
yes, that's very true.
Like, if I'm not going to be a star, I might as well make some money. Like if I'm not going to be the person everybody's talking about, then I might as well, you know, this came across my desk. All right, I'll do. How much are they paying? All right, I'll do it. You know,
I don't know. I think Sebastian Stan, he just had an interview on one of the late night shows and they were asking him about why does he go back to play Bucky all the time? And he goes, you know, being in Marvel allowed him the freedom to do all the other stuff. Like he's nominated right now for, I think, The Apprentice, but he also played like a different man.
Yeah.
And he's like, I would never have the freedom to like do all these random side movies if I didn't know in November, he's like, he said it like, he's like, I get to play like a weird cousin. My weird cousin comes back, you know, and I get to do that. And I've been doing that for 10 plus years. And that weird cousin gives me money to do everything else. And I think it's that balance. I mean, George Clooney always would say, you know, you do two for them, then one for you. Two for them, then one for you. And I feel like that's kind of what Marvel is. It's like, if you're a name.
Yeah, it's becoming harder to discern who's able to do that. Like who's it? Like, I feel like, because I'm remembering, like, you just gave an example of George Clooney, but I'm remembering, like, in the earlier days when Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen and them would do it, it was like, it really stood out who was doing that. You know, like, you, oh wow, sure, can't believe they got this actor to do that. And they were they're clearly doing it to fund other stuff. Whereas now it's starting to seem like the baseline is now like, make the money. And then occasionally you find the people that are doing it to fund their
I would say like Sebastian Stan feels like the exception, not really the rule. Like if you look at Robert Downey Jr.'s like the movie, like I know he just did Oppenheimer, but one, Oppenheimer is a big budget movie anyway. Mm-hmm. And then like he has like most of his movies in the last 15 years are Iron Man and Marvel. Like he did like a he did a few like early on after the success of Iron Man, but once he got into the Avengers cycle, it was like he barely did any other movies. You know what I mean?
And yeah, and also talking about this, like
Doolittle,
like
oh yeah,
like God. Was that for you, bro?
With Robert Downey Jr., it seemed like he was like trapped in the Marvel. Like
yes,
it's it. The idea yeah. was it seemed like he was trapped, but then when Sebastian Stan started also being like, and here are my two other indie movies that I'm also doing every year, it was like surprising. It was like, oh, some people can do it, you know. But I guess Bucky's not Iron Man. Yeah, Bucky's not Iron Man. So
and also my thing about it is, to me, it's you know, when you think about a person like Sebastian Stan, for instance, he always had did small shit. Like he was like the indie artsy dude. So it was like, I think the thing about Marvel that I did like, and I will text, you know, you two, and I definitely will text Jane and be like, yeah, I think I'm becoming a toxic comic book fan. Whereas I do not believe that some of these actors are bigger than the characters, because these characters have been around for like 60, 70, 80 years, 100 years. And so when people are like, oh, I can't recast this, or I need to do this because this one actor did it, I'm like, I don't believe in that, because it's the, like Anthony Mackie said this way, way early on when he was still Falcon. He was like, Falcon is famous. Anthony Mackie is not. Like he said it at like one of the Comic Cons. He's like, that's who is famous. You know what I'm saying? Spider-Man is famous. Tom Holland is, but literally, Zendaya just posted a video. She took him to like a family event, and the black people just called him Spider-Man. Like no one would even say, like in the video, they're like, hey, Spider-Man, come in.
Like nobody's going, like no offense, but like people are not going to see Anthony Mackie. They're going to see Captain America, Brave New World.
I mean, I guess.
I never said where I was at with the state of Marvel. I didn't even get to say that.
You did. You spoke first. you spoke first.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
Well, I mean, how are you feeling about the state of Marvel?
How am I feeling about Captain America?
Yeah,
Brave
and
New
this
World?
Brave New World.
Man, I'll talk about it when we do the. I'll talk about it on the other half.
Wait, I thought you legit went first. I went last.
Listen, my transition was seamless. I deserve a pause for this. A pause.
I feel like you were set up very nicely. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that was an oop.
If okay, anything, well, you know what? Sometimes you got to dunk that alley-oop. I mean, you know, it takes two.
I mean, that's true. I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, you know, I mean, he's
Luka
not wrong.
Luka to LeBron. You know what I'm saying?
It's so funny. I was thinking of an older version of Miami LeBron, but I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Okay. You know, maybe we'll go back to that LeBron
little,
era.
Little Wade to LeBron.
Come on, you know the poster.
Man, you know, that was three eras ago.
That's all I'm saying. That was my favorite LeBron.
It's so wild how long ago that
it was.
We're in a
brave new world. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock. James the Third. Drop Milligan.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Wait for it.
I guess he did say it like that.
He did say it like that.
He I said it he like that, and that's why I chose that line.
Guys,
I guess he did.
I'm a little scared to do this. Okay. I'm a little scared.
Are you?
Yeah. All right. Okay. Man. All right. Well. Guys, we're a film review podcast. We review the films of leading black actors. We
talk jump about, right into it.
I know.
You scared?
We talk about
this. No banter.
Of race and diversity in Hollywood. We're here to promote black actors. Okay.
What
are you talking about?
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? I know I said the line, but why? What are you
doing? Yeah, what's going on, Brady? What's happening?
Nothing. This person who's talking right now loves all black actors. They wants to see every black actor succeed. Has nothing bad to say about any black actor. That's the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
The skeptical voice is that of Gerard Milligan.
And this voice is James the Third.
Okay.
Every time we do that voice, I just get exhausted. Oh, gosh.
So
Bray, what's going on, man? Speak your mind.
Well, you know, I was reminded today of the movie Black Panther, and I was reminded of the joy,
Wakanda Forever,
the joy of the trailer,
mm-hmm.
Hype surrounding it, how we all went to the theater, hyped up, people dressed up, they were dressed to the nines, and then we saw it, and we were like, wow. For a movie that had this much hype to deliver the way that it delivered felt miraculous.
Is this your king? Best line in the whole movie.
We had so much joy talking about it.
Hey, auntie.
The movie wound up being the highest grossing movie of the year.
As you can see, I am not dead.
Which is crazy because that year Avengers Infinity War came out. Mm-hmm. Black Panther made more than Avengers Infinity War, at least domestic, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Which was insane.
It was the highest grossing domestic Marvel movie outside of Avengers 1, I think, at the time.
And
it was massive.
And it
wound
up grossing over $1 billion. I mean, it was such a huge success. And it just felt like this.
I called them sneakers.
It felt like, you know, this was a new era was upon us. A new era was dawning.
Oh,
and
God.
There was so much hope. And then what I realized was maybe, just maybe, I don't know if this is true, but maybe that was the peak.
Oh.
And we didn't realize it yet.
What year was that? 2017, 2018?
And then we were coming down the roller coaster. And we thought that it was just the start of launching.
Now, do you mean of Marvel or are you talking about society?
I guess I'm talking more about...
I'm
talking about black actors and... The black domination of Hollywood. We thought maybe this was the start of something real.
Sure.
Because Get Out came in 2017.
Yeah.
Black Panther 2018.
And I'm not saying we haven't. We've hit some of the. Roller coaster, you go down, but then you go up a little bit again, but you don't reach that peak. I guess is what I mean.
When did I May Destroy You come out? That was 2020, right? I May Destroy You. But that's not a movie. That's a show. What other black movies did we have?
We've had, again, it's not to say we haven't had them. It just meant, I'm talking about the height of the success.
Yeah, I get that.
Ooh. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about this. Oh, right. Because we're experiencing Captain America.
Do you feel like we, because Black Panther... was an event, you know,
it
sort of reaching the heights that it reached had something to, but what about like Wicked? Wicked just did exceptionally well.
Sure.
And that was just at the end of last year. And this next one coming up is going to also probably destroy. And so I don't know. I don't think that it was a peak that will not continue to rise, but we certainly didn't get like an avalanche of things afterwards, or if that's what you mean.
Yeah, well, I guess like a lot of times films that do really great, their sequel does even better.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. Well, now of course obviously Chadwick died and that's a huge part.
And it was handled to Gerard's point that the character is what's famous. You know, a lot of the way that was handled, a lot of people disagree with.
Right, so. Right.
Well, I also think he would. I truly think in my heart of hearts that he would like not, because I think he always considered himself when he spoke, he cared more so about black people and like the representation of it all. So I think he would have probably been like, yo, you find another up and comer and give them this part. I truly, deep down in my heart, feel like he would have been like that. But
Yeah.
But Brave New World, I don't know if it's the peak, if we reached the peak. I will say, you know, I had white friends who were saying like how diverse things were getting in 2020. And I remember saying openly to two of them, just give it time. And a year later, things reverted right back and they are working nonstop.
So anyway, today we are reviewing Captain America Brave New World. This film came out, I guess when you guys listen to it, it'll be about 2 weeks now. it opened number one at the box office, $88 million opening weekend. So far, it's grossed $289 million worldwide, $141 million domestic, $148 million internationally.
Yo, I didn't expect that.
Its budget was $180 million, according to IMDb, which is using the Hollywood Reporter as
that's a lot.
Or 180 is quite a significant amount.
I heard he had
so it's got to it's definitely got to keep making money. I think it seems like it will maybe pull a marginal profit.
Yeah, it's been number one 2 weeks in a row now.
So, right, so far, and now so. it is a low. I mean, being number one in February is not necessarily. I mean, Black Panther came out in February, but it also made so much more than this.
Yeah, yeah. No, sure. But this, I mean, I think is what I mean to say is it's making more than people thought.
Yes,
it was.
It's doing more than than people thought it was going to bomb.
Yes, the worry is the drop from week one to week two is a 68% drop.
Okay.
68%. That's pretty
massive.
Pretty steep.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
Cause what it only made, it made like 140. What was you just said it? It made
140.
140. And so then it only went up.
It went from 88 million to 50. 28 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the week, yeah, and then you know obviously the money it made over the
overseas.
Week.
Yeah.
It'll see it. What will determine the success of this movie is how it plays overseas, because domestically it doesn't feel like it's going to cross 200 million domestically. Like with a drop that big,
that's kind of crazy.
Feels like it might stall out. We'll see though. I mean, we'll see, because it doesn't have a lot of competition, but obviously word of mouth isn't great. Right now the Rotten Tomatoes score is 49%. Though to be fair, the audience score is 80%.
A lot like once you get past the trolls, people seem to enjoy the movie. Like, I mean,
my entire threads is people defending Captain America.
Yeah. Like, it's
threads.
It's not perfect, but I think every time I see an interview, it's like, hey, this movie isn't like it's not like Civil War or Winter Soldier, but it's like fine. It's like watchable. You know what I mean?
Right.
People be hating.
Obviously, this movie stars Anthony Mackie and Harrison Ford.
Got to get Anthony Mackie face.
It also stars Danny Ramirez, Shira Haas, I believe is how you pronounce her name. Mm. Tim Blake Nelson and Carl Lumbly. Oh, and Giancarlo Esposito.
I taught Danny Improv 101 at UCB. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So I take all responsibility for this. But it's a rise in his career.
Zosia Rocamore, I think is how you pronounce her last name. She was in Adler at NYU. I remembered her. She was a senior when I was a freshman. And I remember seeing her in a play.
That's fire.
That's crazy. So
it was always cool to see her pop up on screen. She's done stuff here and there. It's strange because she has a lot of screen time in this movie, but anyway, we'll talk about it. Hey, what's up, y'all? We are sponsored by Prize Picks. I myself use Prize Picks. It's just a fun way to get real money on sports action. You know, you can join over 10 million users like me and sign up today.
You can now win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed.
Are you wondering how it works? Think about it like this. Do you believe Steph Curry will get more than 5 three-pointers next week? Maybe Giannis will go for more than 35 points? Cook up your own hot takes with some friends and you can win real money this basketball season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks.
Download the app today and use code Hollywood to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Download the app today and use code Hollywood to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, Run your game.
Oh, James, you said that better than I could.
Did I? Thank you.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's just do initial thoughts. You guys go first.
I don't want to go first. Not it.
I would like to go last because I feel like I know where y'all are going.
No, no, you always go last, James. No.
I don't think I can go first.
No.
I don't always go last. Okay, fine. I'll start.
Should we start on a good note? Or wait, I thought Gerard likes this.
I do. Yes, I'm saying.
There's no way Gerard likes this.
This is my thing. I think.
I can't start this.
I'll start. I had a great time. I think this movie has some issues. Obviously, I have some notes, but I had a great time. I have been waiting for Incredible Hulk follow up since 20, whenever the fuck the movie came out. I've been waiting for when that movie
2008,
came out.
I think.
No 2008. Way.
Or so maybe, when that.
No, right? You're right. No, you're
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was at. Theater interning in 2005, 2006 when Edward Norton got cast. So yeah, so I remember, so, and the reason that I bring that up is, I said this on the last episode too, that this came out around the time that I was still very heavily into like theater and I really cared about like acting and process and stuff. And when Edward Norton was cast, I knew him as a theater actor and as an actor in all the various movies that he had done at that time. And I remember just loving how like he was playing this role and Tim Blake Nelson was playing the kind of quirky, weird guy who would become a villain if they kept making more movies, and being just like so excited by the gravitas that they brought to the Hulk story, which also is one of my favorites. So like I've been waiting for a sequel to that stuff since 2008. So I loved that. I don't love that this is two movies in one. Like I would have loved to have seen a Sam Wilson story. I feel like what we get in this is a retreading of the series, which gives us sort of an idea of how well that series probably did in terms of viewership. But like that was annoying to me. Like I would have loved to have had to seen like a true Sam Wilson Captain America movie that built on what we saw rather than just repeated what we saw, but ultimately like had a pretty great time with the exploration of the Hulk stuff. There's some directing things in this that feel strange to me. Like it didn't feel as big as I think it could have at a lot of times. And I'm wondering what you guys think, but the movie, when the movie started and those fight sequence happened, I was just like, why are we so tight? And why does it not like it? Mm-hmm. Like the same mm-hmm. kinds of things mm-hmm. that we would see in another movie. Like, I don't know. It just, some of that stuff was frustrating to me. But, and then of course we know that this movie famously went through reshoots. I have a feeling that the reshoots had a lot to do with like the race elements that were in it earlier. It feels like that took a major backseat, and that's frustrating to the point that when it does come out in this movie, it sort of feels like it's shoehorned into the movie. When I feel like, especially going after the show, that like it was probably the movie, like it's probably what the movie originally was, and they were scared and did reshoots to kind of cover that stuff up. And so it kind of feels weird and kind of lame duck in a way when it comes out in this. But again, I had a great time. I haven't seen it a second time yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it again.
And you liked The Incredible Hulk?
I didn't love The Incredible Hulk, okay. But I but again, like, I get very excited by the Hulk stories. I wasn't cold on it, but I didn't love it, you know.
I mean, and I will say, like, it is annoying that they did not make a Hulk movie with Mark Ruffalo. Like, yeah. I understand Thor Ragnarok kind of served as like
they legally can't.
They can't. Yeah, they have can't some
legally. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
The rights belong to someone, some other. Oh, it might be Universal or something. Yeah, so they're like able to use Hulk in these movies, and they might still do. They've been talking about like Planet Hulk for a few years now, or.
Well, they said they can't do it with him in 4 though, because they can't use it. Really? Just like the Spider-Man movie, they can't do.
So now, wait. So how did they do it with The Incredible Hulk, or was The Incredible Hulk also a Sony production as well?
It wasn't Sony. It was.
I think it's Universal. I want to say it's Universal is who is, but no, Incredible Hulk is in the Marvel, is a Marvel.
Yeah,
movie.
Obviously. Okay. Okay. I am so glad you enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, Universal.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, I'll.
Here's what I'm gonna say. I have to be honest with myself.
Oh, here you go.
And in my feelings. And everybody already knows that I have superhero fatigue. So obviously take my opinion with a huge grain of salt. This movie depressed me. Here's why. I don't think it was bad. I just think it was so painfully average. It felt so paint by the numbers to me that it's hard for me to not think about how much corporate America controls everything. And that, like, I was just like, we have a black Captain America, and this movie the idea of a black Captain America feels so radical, and to not really deal with that at all feels insane. Kind of deal with it, but not really, feels kind of insane. And then the movie kind of becomes like just like the idea of like, it almost felt meta of like, well, I am not Steve Rogers. I am not like, I, Anthony Mackie, am not Chris Evans. Mm. You know, I can't like, and are people gonna like me? I don't know, but I just gotta be me. And it's hard for me to not go like, okay, but like, it is kind of true, and you're not, and you don't have the same star power and charisma, and it does feel like a lesser product, especially because you're just doing Captain America, but with Falcon. I mean, I don't care enough about like Red Hulk for that to save anything, and I felt like, I don't know. I felt like the soul was taken out of the film. And I felt like the directing was just so like, it felt like the movie had no real point of view. Like, it had nothing really to say.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I agree.
It was so tepid. 100%
agree with that. 100% agree with that.
There's a very famous Bible verse where God says something like, I'd rather you, like, don't be lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth.
That's this movie.
Because I was like, I'd rather you just be. I'd rather you be Madam Web.
I get
like
that.
Be
yeah.
bad. Don't be just so average that it's like, this is such a forgettable film. And I thought down to the action sequences, like, everything just felt so like pedestrian. And it was like, yeah, you did it. Like, you checked the tick tick tick. Like, you know, it's not bad. Like, there's a story here, and. And you hit all the right notes of like what the story structure is supposed to be, and you did the fights, and then, but like, I didn't feel like anybody stood out in this movie. I mean, like, anybody, like, I like, and there are some like cool act. I liked Tim Blake Nelson a lot. I don't quite remember him in the. I don't quite remember The Incredible. I think I only saw that movie once, and it was back in 2008.
He had like two or three scenes, okay. But he. And they tease this. They tease this trajectory in the movie. But like, if you don't watch The Incredible Hulk before this, I think that Hulk stuff, I think so much of this hinges on that, that I don't know that it works very well without having watched. Well,
that's a, I mean, that is a problem because that major movie came out in 2008.
Also, why would they center a Captain America movie around the history of Incredible Hulk and not the previous Captain America movies that they've been three of already?
Right. Because they don't trust Anthony Mackie. They didn't trust him to, like everything that Bray just said, they didn't trust him to be the main hero. They didn't trust the switch.
Leave it as a show then. They made it a movie.
It's true.
It was a show.
If this was the finale, like if this was like a, this was broken up into a TV show, it feels like a TV show in the sense that it's not, it's like you want like there to be an, or at least I do, want there to be like an epicness to this kind of film that I just didn't quite feel like. I never quite even felt like anything was really in danger. Like, we'll talk about it. Sorry, I'm talking too long. Go ahead.
My thing is I wanted to love this movie. I wanted to. I really did. I like it. I like it. I think it is definitely watchable. I think it's this feels like growing up when you had, like when you were at home and say you just were like playing around and you turn on TNT and it's like an action movie or something on and you're like, yo, sure. I watched this movie. Sure. Like that's what this movie feels like. I think what's hard, especially getting to what Bray's talking about, is that I do think this movie is cowardice. Like, I think Sam Wilson's comic is so good. It's like, there are certain points in that comic, bro. He is so hated solely because he's a black Captain America. The government stops fucking with him. Like, they make that dude fly coach. So he be on coach with like his costume overhead and the shield in his lap. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is solely because he's a black dude. Because bro, thinking about the time that we live in right now, and of course this movie probably didn't know that Trump was coming back, but like they always refer to him like...
But they had to know it was a possibility.
Or the fact that, like, no offense, even if Trump wasn't in office, even if like, you know, say this movie did come out earlier, I think when it was supposed to, and Biden was still there. It's like, bro, America...
Yeah, just last
about,
year,
like,
right?
Yeah, and I'm like, remember, but America still wouldn't rock out with like a black Captain. Like, you know what I'm saying? You see the fallout of Barack. You know what I mean? Like, the Barack fallout is heavy.
We literally live in a world where every time a black person plays a role, even if it's completely fictional, that is generally seen by white, everyone loses their mind. Like, not everyone, but there's a segment of the population that loses their mind. Like, we had it with The Little Mermaid. We had it with Star Wars. You know, like, we always have it. Like, people are talking about it for James Bond and people are like, no, like James Bond can't be black. Like, so of course, like, how is that not a thing?
It makes no sense. And I think for me, what's so hard about it is it's like, I don't necessarily want this movie to be about race. Cause I don't think it needs to be that. But I do think the fact that you had this black superhero and this Mexican superhero and it never is addressed, bro, is kind of crazy.
Well, it is addressed. When? It is addressed. How? But do you mean the last scene of the movie? they talk about it directly in a way that's so strange because the rest of the movie does not talk about it.
Wait,
as
what was
directly.
The last scene?
The last scene is like
spoilers.
Spoilers. But the last scene is like, the reason that I'm so perfect is because I have to be in.
Oh, this movie sucks.
Exactly.
I just changed my mind. That line makes me hate this movie now.
But you were just saying, man, if only the movie talked about it more. But that last scene is like eye-rolly because the movie does not explore it. It's like a scene that was like, it feels like the scene was shoehorned into it. But then if you watched the show, and the writer of the show is one of the writers of the movie, you know that that's what the show was about. So you know that somewhere along the line,
were trying to make it more about this.
You got
to
take this out. You got to do this. You got to do that. You know, and it's so anyway, they did talk about it.
I'm saying because it's the actual reality, which is why if that stuff was in there, and I agree with you, probably was, or at least it was talked about.
In the planning,
And it was taken out, that's because of Disney, the corporation. And that's because of them being like, well, is that going to be marketable overseas? Like, And this is the whole, this is why it's like, I think this is why I was so depressed watching it, because I felt like, it felt emblematic of like where we are in society, which, you know, like art can't be revolutionary. Like, this is what it's got
to
be.
But also, I know this is big revolt on like wokeness. And I'm not, and again, I'm not trying to say this movie needed to be that, but I do think I leaned towards Brayden. I was like, this movie needs to say something. And again, for me, it's like, you know, the reason we have Miles Morales is because of the same uproar when like they were trying to cast, you know, Spider-Man that went to Andrew Garfield. Everybody, a certain sect of people wanted Donald Glover. Other people were like, you can't have a black dude do this. You know, we end up getting Miles Morales. And the beauty of that first Spider-Verse movie was, is it hit on, to me, it talked about Miles and showed Miles being black without him having to do it. We see the opening scene is Miles talking about his sneaks, bro. But he's talking about his sneakers, which are Jordan 1s. You know what I mean? Then we talk about like how anybody could do this part. And I'm like, yo, is something about that? And I know Anthony Mackie keeps referring to like, you know, can he be capped? Should he have taken the potion? But to me, what's so important about it is if you're going to have an average man, okay, in this world, I understand why they wanted him to go against somebody like the Hulk to prove that he could win. But low key, the way he won,
I was so mad.
I mean, he didn't really win.
I was so mad.
Like the way he won. Also, what's the hardest, if you guys watched, it wasn't a spoiler, I guess it's a spoiler, I don't know. But if you watched What If, which is fucking awful, like there's an episode where Sam has to like calm down, like a version of a Hulk, like the Hulk basically turns into a kaiju. And he is the only person who can talk him down because they become best friends or something like that. And I'm like, bro, I am sorry. One, Red Hulk can think. Don't know why he's dumb in this movie. The Red Hulk can think. He's still a strategist. He can talk. He's super conniving. Don't know why.
Oh, that's what makes him interesting.
Yes. He actually knows what the fuck is happening. Also, could you imagine how good this movie would have been if it would have been a black dude who is technically representing America, who's trying to save America while going against a president who is corrupt? Like literally the president is the bad guy. Like,
yeah,
that's what like, it should be.
That's all the movie should be.
I mean, the
the movie is not that.
The best part of the movie, I legitimately almost applauded when Red Hulk jumps on top of the White House and then stands up next to the flag. I literally almost applauded, and I was like, I can't be that guy that's like, yeah, you know. Like, but when that happens in the movie, you can tell what the original pitch of the movie, what, like, that's why Red Hulk is here. Like, that's the only reason they're doing this is for what the larger movie could have been, you know.
Also, can I tell you one thing that I'm really upset by at this movie? Is this movie does something that I think we keep doing in American society, which is mainly because of our president, is that we keep humanizing evil white men. Like, Thunderbolt Ross is not a good dude, period. Like, he's not a good person. When we saw him in the comics, he's not a good person. In Incredible Hulk, he is not a good person. When he shows up in Civil War, he is not a good person. But in this movie, I'm supposed to what? Feel sad for him? For what reason?
Yeah.
Because his daughter doesn't want to talk to him anymore.
Bro, take out everything. If you don't know anything about him, in the conceit of this movie, he has poisoned a man for 15 plus years.
Yeah. And then when he knows that that person is responsible for what's happening, doesn't tell anybody because he's trying to cover his own butt.
Yeah.
He's a genuinely horrible person.
Horrible.
Absolutely no shade to Harrison Ford. But I do think that part of this is Harrison Ford as the character versus a William Hurt or Sam Elliott, who played it in the Ang
okay.
Lee. Well, it was like when
what's is it chicken or the egg? Because like, did they get Harrison Ford because they wanted to be they wanted
no, no,
to,
William
him
Hurt
to
passed,
be human?
William Hurt passed, and then they, you know, I think that Harrison Ford is just sort of the next guy.
He's bigger.
You go to
no, but he's bigger. Yeah. I mean, they could have.
They definitely added more.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, you could have got like Ed Harris, like you. You could have went in a direction.
Ooh, Ed Harris. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Honestly. Ooh, yeah. Ed Harris.
Like, you could have gotten somebody who isn't so beloved, who doesn't always play characters that are so beloved, and therefore you're not going to sympathize with him the way that we we automatically are going to sympathize with Harrison Ford, you know, even when he's being bad.
I was mad. I was literally mad. Like his like second scene, I was like, this ain't working for me. And then they were do the reveal of what happened. And I was like, right. Okay, that's why. But I was like so mad.
Luckily forgot about this character. So I was just kind of like, I was like, oh, is this supposed to be like, who is he supposed to be? Like, is he supposed to be like, I don't know. Anyway.
Then low key, like, yeah, I guess we can just talk about the movie in full.
I mean,
like,
yeah, we can bounce
it
around.
It was like this movie opened and I'm going to be straight up. I love a non-powered superhero. Again, I love Batman. Daredevil is questionable because I think he does have superpowers, depending on who you're talking to.
He certainly does.
I agree. But I have people like, he ain't got no powers. He got super senses. I'm like, bitch, that's a power. Yes, idiots. Idiots. But this...
I mean, his origins... If an origin story involves radiation in any way, you have to assume that they have some superpower.
Listen. Idiots. But I will say, I think the thing that's kind of hard, and I don't know if it's because we've seen Captain America in 10 plus movies by now, whether it's Anthony and shows, whether it's like Anthony Mackie or Chris Evans. But I think I am being let down by the Shield fights, because I feel like, you know, we've seen almost everything. And I thought maybe because, like, you know, he still has the Falcon wings and they're made out of vibranium, he's going to like charge up the wing and then smack it, and then just bust through a wall.
He did it a couple times.
He smacked it with the wing?
He did. Well,
he kicked it a couple times.
Yeah, he did kick. Oh, you mean
the shield?
You mean the shield?
The shield.
Oh.
Because I was like, we should see some dope shield stuff. Because I'm like, because again, even if you didn't watch the show, what you realize is that because he's a human, he can't catch it. Like, he can't catch it with 2 feet. He's got to like jump and like do flips just to catch the shield. So I'm like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. We about to see my man doing some crazy Caballero type, like, and then in this movie, he was just doing normal Chris Evans shit. He just would fly every now and then. And I was like, my man is just on his 2 feet. Like,
the wings would have been cool.
Come on, bro. And you charge the wings up if the wing is taking a hit.
But he barely used the charging of the wing. That was so annoying.
I think it happened twice in the whole movie, and then at the end, the movie opens
with like he can charge the. You know, remember Black Panther doing this? Remember that? You know,
yeah. Like, oh. Which also was kind of weird that they just gave him like kind of like back like, dude.
Yeah, it was for it weird.
Okay, this is one more thing. All right, I know we're not supposed to take these movies and think about them too much, but this movie. When I saw this movie, in the first second, I knew I wasn't going to like it. Because y'all know how this movie opens?
Oh.
Y'all know how this movie opens?
No, but I love this idea because I've been talking about this with somebody, how like you know whether a movie's going to be good or bad like immediately, like within the first minute.
Immediately, and I'm going to tell you why. And it's not because it opened with Harrison Ford, because I do think when you watch a good superhero movie, usually it will open with a good villain. If it's, you know, that is okay. But the dialogue is, how is Betty, my daughter? And for some reason, when he said that, I was like, oh, you don't trust people because you literally tried to set up.
Nobody knew Betty was his daughter.
But this is my thing. But the thing is, in my mind, I was like, you didn't even need to have this dialogue right here because she's literally like, hey, you got to go ready to go out. How's Betty, my daughter? And I'm like, what? Why'd you bring that up right now? Yeah. like what are you yeah, talking so
no
about,
one,
bro?
No one would ever say that.
Like, it's so unrealistic. And then when they shoot that shot, it was clearly one of this director was a Black man, and I don't want to, you know, go on his directing work because I did like Loose a lot. I could tell that I know they're saying is 180, but something about this budget feels like really restrained because like it felt like he was trying to make a political thriller, which I get. But he was just reusing the same shots from political thrillers. And I was like, okay, the overhead looking down shot, we got it. We never saw the crowd when Harrison Ford was talking because I'm like, oh, this might be just a blank room and he's just talking to nobody. So we couldn't fill that room up. It just felt like y'all opened this movie on such a small scale that was like unnecessary. It didn't open epic.
This director's name is Julius Ona, and he directed The Cloverfield Paradox. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do.
Definitely then, didn't like it.
And then he directed Loose. Yeah.
I like Loose.
Which I have not seen. So
we did it on the podcast.
We did do it on the podcast.
Wait, was I involved? Was I there?
You might not have been there.
Wait, Loose. What's it about? What's Loose about?
It's about like this like black kid in high school who's like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't remember. But it stars Kelvin. It's like one of Kelvin's earlier films. But
And Octavia Spencer. Okay,
right. And Kelvin and Octavia Spencer are in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember liking it.
Man, I thought his performance was great.
Our memories. But you know what's so great? There is a whole podcast that says exactly what we thought about the film.
Oh, Loose. I remember now. Loose was all right. Loose was all right. But to compare it though, it's like I like Loose, but Cloverfield Paradox is going to tell me how this man is going to direct an action movie like Marvel and the spectacle of that. And I'm just going to say I didn't like like Cloverfield Paradox.
No, that was a tough one. That was a tough one.
I don't know. You should ask Betty, my daughter.
When that happened, I was like, and he should have said that because no one's seen this movie. Like,
but this is my thing, James. I'm okay with that, but the thing is, when he said it, it was just no need for him to bring up Betty. Like, there wasn't like, it wasn't like he was looking on his phone. He wasn't looking at a photo of her. It wasn't like
the reason was he hasn't spoken to her in years because of everything that happened, and he's about to speak for the first time as pre. You don't think that there's really no reason for him to be like, "Where's
James,
my daughter?"
If you knew your daughter wasn't talking to you, you know she's not going to be there. It wasn't like he was looking at a photo on his phone. He wouldn't even get one of those Google Memories. If Google Memory popped up and showed you,
the entire movie hinges on.
That's a bad
how
hinge.
He feels about Betty.
That's a bad hinge. That's a bad hinge, bro. Let that man be evil. Just let him be evil.
Yes. No, I don't disagree. I don't disagree that. I think that they made some things here, but that is why he said it at the top is because they were that like, this is
moment. I was like, nope. I knew right then. I was like, nope.
I was like, this is so funny. Cause I was like, man, yeah. Have we heard from Betty? Where's she at?
Instantly.
When are we going to see Liv Tyler?
Instantly. Nope. I was like, nope. Said it like dead ass. The moment that happened, I was like,
Well, these fight sequences in this opening, again, I liked some of them, but to Gerard's point, like it was just the same stuff we'd seen, and I really thought we were just too tight on him. It just was really like not. It didn't seem the spectacle of the like swinging in and doing the pop 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 pop. I didn't feel that. I felt
also,
like
also he was dropping niggas with one punch. He a regular dude, bro. Batman don't drop people. Batman got brass knuckles on. My man had his bare hands.
Yeah, but he got the vibranium now. That's the part.
Not on his hands.
He got the vibranium now.
Not on his. Black Panther got a suit that covers his hands and feet.
And Black Panther has superpowers.
And he also has he has the heart shaped herb,
bro,
inside of him.
Also, I was like, it felt like you could take this movie. And like that scene felt like in Winter Soldier when Cap had to go onto the ship. It was almost beat by beat the ship. Like even when the Jumper, I forgot that comic superhero he had to fight at the end of the fight. Yeah. You almost had the same exact thing happen in this
movie. It made me mad too because that was so epic. Like, did he have a parachute? No, he didn't have a parachute.
No, he just jumped. He used the shield.
We didn't get anything like that with this. It was just like, we're going to go in covert. Are you new here? And then he just did a superhero landing.
But also, what's so funny about...
Yeah, how did he do that superhero landing?
So that's the one... Bray, I don't get it, Bray. I guess the vibranium is supposed to absorb vibranium. His legs.
Yeah, the vibranium.
But again,
what?
He is a regular dude.
But he's in a...
It's also weird because he has wings. You know what I mean? I was just like, when he did that, I was like, but you have wings. So why did you need to do that?
It's so funny. When I saw that in the trailer, I was like, what? And then I went, I guess the vibranium does a blah, blah, blah. And then seeing it in the movie, I was perfectly fine. It didn't bother me.
Got
at
it.
All.
Well, that because you already processed it. I hadn't processed it. And I literally asked, because I saw this with Jesse, And I was like, does he have the... I was like, wait, did he take the serum? And he was like, I think so. And I was like, oh. And then later on when they're like, when he says like, I should have taken the serum, I was like, oh, I guess he doesn't have the serum, even though this whole time it feels like he's been pretty strong.
Yo,
but then there are, but then there are moments when he's not. There are moments when he's getting, he feels regular.
I feel like they went out of their way to me, went out of their way to make him feel like, that fight with that dude at the end of the sequence, like,
right.
He kept getting stabbed and like all these things. I was just like, wow.
Wait, talking about with Giancarlo?
No. Oh. There was someone else. Well, I mean, it actually might have been a fight with him. I thought there was someone else who he fought before Giancarlo, who was like stabbing him and was, he was like, I'm going to. Did Gerard freeze? Did we lose?
Gerard track? Did freeze, but he froze in the best.
In a
he froze in the I'm gonna do a perfect image. Like he's like,
I'm gonna do a screenshot. Darn, he's gone. He's gone in the before I.
He'll come back. I wanted to say I misspoke. I said nobody stood out in this film, and I take that back. I actually think Giancarlo did stand out in this film.
Oh yeah, he was great, and is apparently. A like that villain that he plays, someone I don't read these comics. Same. But somebody was like, this is like his bad guy, like he like, and so I was happy that with this, different than Black Panther where they like kill Claw or whatever Andy Serkis character's name was, they kill him midway and then kill Killmonger. This time they were like, nope, serpents in the wind, you know. So it was like, okay,
yes. Yeah, apparently he has connection to Thunderbolts, he has connection to Fantastic Four. I mean, I guess they're doing an older but anyway, it would be nice to see him again in something, because I thought he
absolutely
I thought he was great. Like, it's so funny how like just some people have this gravitas, man. Like,
yeah,
that like they even in a movie for me, that wasn't
where
that...
where clearly they're shooting around him also. Like, yeah. It's like there's so many times where it's like, oh, you're not even with anybody in this.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And I just like every time, like like when he first came on, I was just like, why is he talking like he can take on Captain America? And then like as the movie progressed, I was like, this dude could take on Captain America.
Yeah,
I believed
yeah.
him. Like, and when he said at the end, like, he's like, when I do escape, I'm gonna kill you or something like that, I was like, I believe this dude, man. Like,
all you need is like tech and strategy and you yeah. can kill him. You can take him down because he's just a guy.
he's just a
regular dude
with a shield and some wings. So yeah, I mean, this movie, okay. Where can we go from here? I think like
it's hard because we have talked about it.
How much Well, tell me, I guess, from your perspective, like, okay, because I didn't watch the show. I only saw the first episode and I was so bored and I couldn't watch it.
Okay. Wait, before I talk about specifically this, because I would love to hear, because Gerard has read the comics, so I would love to hear his input on he's restarting his internet now.
Yeah.
But I will say, because we can just ask him.
But you saw the show.
But I did see the show. And so something that's been frustrating me about the representation of Sam Wilson is specifically this. At the end of Endgame, when he's given the shield, he says, thanks, thank you, I'll do my best, you know? And it's like this beautiful moment and the music swells and like, it's like, wow, we're going to have a Black Captain America. We're talking, right. Gerard, we're talking about the show and what Sam Wilson's representation on the show versus in the movie. And I basically just said like he took the shield and it was a beautiful thing. But then on the show opens with him having already given up the shield. it opens with him.
Right. Cause no, I did see a little bit of that. The show is the guy from who's going to be in Thunderbolts now is Captain America.
He was.
Yes. Yes. He was Captain America, but he becomes Captain America in the show. Yeah. Yeah. They're like they you know, his credentials are great and they're like, this is a great American, we're gonna give him the super serum, and they give him the serum. And so they're basically just setting up this thing where, you know, where will Falcon come back? Will he take the shield? Will he get it back? I can't quite remember what the dynamic was with Winter Soldier. There might have been
him and Winter Soldier, they were cool, but Winter Soldier was pissed that he gave up the shield in the first place. He was like, why would you do that? It was given to you.
Yeah. And that's how I felt. So then when this movie also sort of starts with like a, it starts with like a, whew, he doesn't know if he can be Captain America. I was just like,
we saw 8 episodes of this already.
Yes. Yes. We just did this.
I mean, this is the inherent problem with Marvel and their continuity stuff is that they both want to honor the people who are watching all of their stuff because, like, of course, they have to. You know what I mean? And then at the same time, they know that everybody's not going to watch all this stuff because how can you?
It's impossible. Yeah.
And so they have to tread both worlds at the same time. So I was
And I unfortunately think you don't need to watch the show given what happened. You know, like we don't know who Isaiah Bradley is, well, and we don't know who Daniel Ramirez is.
So this is what I was going to say. That I did not watch the show. And when Isaiah Bradley's character comes on and they kind of like phone in like who he was or whatever, and I was like, "Oh, this guy, I didn't watch the show and I was like, this guy must be from the show." Their relationship must be explored in the show because this movie is fast tracking it in a way where it doesn't fully work. Like it only works in the sense of like, hey, we said this and therefore now care. And I'm like, but I don't actually know it. Like
I have to be honest though, it's so quick on the show too. Isaiah's in one episode, Gerard, or two.
He's in two. Mm-hmm. He's in two, and then his grandson is in the second one with him.
Yeah, but it's still scenes. You know what I mean?
There's a relationship between these two that I'm like, I don't. You're telling me, and I see it a little bit, but I'm like the idea, like the whole movie kind of hinges on their relationship, right? Like the whole movie kind of hinges on the idea that he's just so upset about this guy or thinks that this guy couldn't possibly, you know, have been in control of what he literally witnessed him do. You know what I mean?
Can I do a pitch? Do a pitch? And this, so what I'm about to pitch is probably going to bring us further back to Civil War, Winter Soldier, but based on what Bray is saying, I agree. So to me, what you needed to do in this movie, instead of opening with Harrison Ford giving a speech, you should have opened back in like the 60s when Cap is frozen and Bradley is Captain America. Because Bradley knows how shitty of a person Thunderbolt is.
Right.
So it's like you open back then where he's getting these orders, they put him back in the box and he's literally exactly how they treated Winter Soldier. That's how America treated this black dude. And I mean, again, we have histories based on like how black people were treated. Just do that thing. So then you open after that with like the new Cap and, you know, maybe Cap is talking to like Bradley and Falcon. Like Bradley's like on the team and like, you know what I'm saying? He's like advising them. You get the training scene a little bit earlier. They have dinner. You know, you do that kind of bullshit. But then when he goes to the White House, he's like, I can't do this. And then you have a history of why he doesn't trust Thunderbolt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then you have an intrigue. Of does he really dislike him or is he mind control? You know, you just give we get to see. Also, what people don't understand is that because he's black and comics was racist, Bradley's mask was like a bandana. it was like an American flag bandana. Like he didn't have that much armor. It was so dope, but we didn't do that.
Also, like, why did this movie not even care to make it a mystery of whether or not of like, if there was something more sinister behind what was happening? I just felt like it was so obvious. It was so obvious from an audience point of view that these people were being mind controlled. And like, hasn't mind controlled happened in this show?
Because that was what Winter Soldier's whole thing was that
he was mind controlled.
Right.
He
and like, wasn't that a huge part of the movie?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this seemed to be retreading a few things, not just the show, but like they're retreading. I mean, like, it's like, this was retreading some of Winter Soldier stuff. This was retreading some Hulk stuff. It was like not just it didn't just build. It was mostly like, remember this, you know. Well, now we're doing it this way, you know. It was a lot of that.
So this is also a thing. This is a little bit of a tangent, but it does connect because of the mind. Because I was like, don't these people know about mind control? Like, why are they, why hasn't that idea even crossed somebody's mind yet? Like, that doesn't seem right. Jesse and I were talking about how, because all of these Marvel's movies exist, and they, and even if you don't watch everything, you're aware that you're maybe supposed to watch everything because everything ties in, and they constantly refer to the continuity of the MCU within the films themselves. They're always saying, like, you know, like in like Harrison Ford's speech, he's like talking about the blip, right? Like, and they're talking about they talked about Eternals. Like, I mean, this whole movie has a huge part of Eternals, like in the film, right? Like that the thing that happens at the end of Eternals is what's his face, Galacticus appears or whatever. And so, like, and yet, like, some of this stuff happens, and I'm like, well, when just to skip, I guess it's skipping to the end, but when Harrison Ford turns into the Hulk, it makes zero sense that any of these people react the way that they do. It just doesn't make sense. It's just like,
They are right next to him and shooting at him. What?
It's just like, it's literally like, I'm like, listen, not only have you talked in this very film about the Hulk attack and Abomination, we have to believe that this was not that long ago. It's literally like being on an airplane in 2025 and terrorists like take over the plane and people go like, well, maybe they won't fly this into a bill. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
yeah.
Of course we're going to be thinking that's the first thing we're going to be thinking about. And so when the Hulk shows up, the idea that they're going to shoot him with guns is
didn't make any sense.
Asinine.
Makes no sense.
Made no sense.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Made and it's
no
like, sense. But you have to do it. You have to do it to like play no, it
don't.
Out. But
no, you don't. You ain't got to do none of that. We know how it works.
No. And you sort of go, I started to go, well, there's got to, someone else has to show up here to help.
And that's the other thing.
We know
that none of the other superheroes are showing up.
And we
this
know
is the
other
White
heroes.
House. This isn't this isn't like a Spider-Man movie where it's like, well, I just gotta take care of New York, you know, like Brooklyn's in like Queens is in trouble. Like, this is America. Like a world war is about to start, and none of the other Avengers are showing up.
Didn't make any sense.
Not one. Not one.
Made zero sense. And y'all not know one. Sam ain't got no, he ain't got the juice.
He ain't got no powers.
Y'all know Sam ain't got the juice.
My thing is, Bucky shows up to have a conversation. When Bucky shows up, they're at the brink of war, bro. Like,
yeah, it just, like, that stuff, it's like, how does it not, it bothers me because it's like, also knowing the fact that in some of these movies, other superheroes always show up anyway, it's kind of like, why weren't they showing up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What do you call it? Does that really well? Or wait, maybe this is just what I always wanted to happen. But doesn't at the end of? Oh no, this didn't happen. I was about to praise a movie for doing something that didn't happen in it. But I also thought that like the end of the Suicide Squad was going to be, oh, and then now Superman and them actually come and stop stop Starro. But that isn't what like they end up having to figure out a way to do it themselves.
Do they talk about it in that movie? Do they explain
like why someone's not there?
Sometimes
right?
they explain. Like, I remember, like, I forgot what movie it was, but like I remember once in a Marvel movie they were like, "Well, Captain Marvel is like out doing this," and like they explained some of this stuff.
In there was one movie where they're like, "She's off world,"
you know, she's off world. Which like
it was Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Oh yes, but you go. It's like, I'd rather a lazy explanation than nothing at all.
Yeah,
why
they explain? They explain where Hulk and Thor is during Civil War. It was like Hulk was doing something, or he vanished, and like Thor was off world. Because like, why are not the strongest people a part of this fight?
Thor's off world.
Yeah,
and that makes sense. Fine. I mean, Thor sometimes goes back to his home planet. Great. I like Thor not being there is the easiest one, you know. But it is kind of like, okay, so like, well, there's a Red Hulk. Where's Bruce?
Yeah. I told where's somebody She-Hulk? That I liked the Hulk stuff, and they were like, without Bruce Banner, it's pointless. And I was like, okay, sure.
It kind of is.
But also, like, I got to see it, you know? Like, I was just, like, trying to explain
it. It was tough, man.
You could have at least had somebody show up at the end being, like, and then being, like, we're going to stop them. And then they're like, oh, wow, we got here and you already stopped them. You know, great job, Captain.
Good job. Yeah, good job.
Yeah, I thought there might be a cameo, but then I will just bet $1 million that they were just like, you cannot have both of them. Like that just whatever their rights rules are, they were just like, he can't do it.
You couldn't give me, you know, for instance, I know they're not superheroes. I don't know what we're calling this team, but you can give me not one of the Thunderbolts. You couldn't give me like the new Black Widow.
What's weird is that Bucky does show up. Yeah, Bucky shows up at the hospital at the end.
Which makes no sense because Bucky shows up and the movie isn't over yet. Like when Bucky shows up, he shows up before they go and have that whole, you know, celestial thing. And
he
He
shows up pre Red Hulk shows up. Yeah.
Why is he not? Why didn't he just stay? Like,
where? Why didn't he just stay? He's in Washington, isn't he?
Yes, he's a politician now.
The reason he doesn't stay though is because all they were doing was checking. He was checking up on, even though. Okay, wait, no. Actually, I do have an issue with this because the Thinker is in the wind for what? A good 45 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
But it never feels like that's a threat. And Bucky leaving is a prime example of that.
Right.
Like he would stay, you know, or at least see if they need help. If the movie treated the Thinker being in the wind like it being the problem that it is, but they never do, right? Like
the Thinker he never catches, he just comes back and he's like, I came back for my final. You didn't have to be here for that. You released an audio tape. Why'd you come back for that? Like legitimately,
right, yeah, why did he choose to get captured? And bro, is there more to this?
Makes no sense. And now, if he's setting up something bigger, God bless. But then, as we saw from that CGI fucking bullshit ass, that might be the worst tease in Marvel cinematic history, bro.
What's that?
It might be the one with him. It may be the worst one. Like,
yeah, but they needed us to. I feel like we've also sort of had this same scene in like three other things at this point, like where like, and the other worlds are coming, like I feel like that exact thing has been said at least three other times.
you telling me you couldn't get, because they're filming right now, you couldn't get, and I don't know how Fantastic Four ends, but I have a theory. I believe that their world is going to get eaten, which is why they got to come to ours, blah blah blah. You couldn't have them just like magically appear and be like, bro, you could literally do the first
that
Captain America
been so insane.
Well, they can't spoil the other movie. I hate that you just said that because Gerard, you know for a fact that that's exactly what's going to happen at the end of that movie.
Come on, baby.
I can't believe I would never have thought about. I would never have thought about that. I literally was watching the trailer to this movie, being like, "This is so cool!" Like they're like, "F the MCU. We get to build our own world." And now, that's exactly right. You're exactly right. That's the end of the movie. You just ruined it.
I'm sorry. You know what, Bray? This is a long game. You think I forgot about us? You think I forgot about us, Bray? You think I forgot about us? You sitting there?
I was using the clues within the film itself.
She's not clapping on the one.
Yeah, she wasn't.
James, I never forget it. He said it instantly.
That's the worst.
She's
thing
not
you
clapping
said.
On it. That was 20 minutes into the movie.
It's not my fault. They put the clue in the movie, man.
Well, Bray, they put the clue in the trailer, okay? They put him in that world, and it is looking like this.
So I'm upset, though, because I still haven't seen that Fantastic Four trailer. So a lot of things are spoiled.
I can't help it.
Oh, it's a great trailer. It is actually
a lot of things are spoiled.
Trailers are made for the public, baby. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
The public has the right to choose.
They played it before. The public
has the right to choose.
Listen, I ain't got nothing to do with that. If someone spoil a movie, that's one thing. A trailer is on your phone and it is free,
what?
Baby.
That
okay?
is not. It's all spoilers.
A trailer in a movie, because you know what it is? Because if they put it in the trailer, they don't consider
that's
it a spoiler.
That's why I show up to every movie 25 minutes after the start time.
No, you just be late, James. No, don't justify the lateness. Nope, don't justify the lateness, James.
I do just be late. But,
no, James, don't you
but
dare.
There's intentionality to my, to my lateness.
Nah.
There's intentionality to my lateness.
All I'm going to say is this movie has so many opportunities to be cool without doing a lot. Just like paying attention to the lore you already built. Again, you could have ended this, and you're right. I truly don't know how Fantastic Four will end. But to me, it's like you could have used somebody. But you know, but you could have used somebody to set up that movie. Like, to me, the best way to tease that movie would be to do it in this one. Or even if you have, what's Thunderbolts is next? All yeah. right. Yeah, Thunderbolts. You can't have one of them show up at, I guess Bucky was in there. Ugh. I don't know, guys. I just feel like at no point did this movie take advantage
yeah,
of
yeah, but it didn't. It's not like, unless somehow Thunderbolts hinges on his Senate campaign, it had nothing to do with, you know, there was nothing about Thunderbolts.
It's just strange because in the other Captain America movies, there's always somebody else there. It's always somebody
every
else
time.
There.
Black Widow's in the second one.
Nick Fury. It's like Nick Fury, Black Widow.
The third one had everybody.
The Civil War has everybody. Introduces Spider-Man.
And what's so crazy is I understand them wanting to build Sam up as like this dope hero, but you also set up at the beginning of this movie that Thunderbolt wants him to be the leader of the Avengers. So I'm like, oh, if someone showed up, that doesn't mean they're taking advantage. They just need to listen to him. So it's like, hey, like, because even Cap would be like, oh, go do this real quick. And like the teams do the thing. That is strategic. That is what he can do with no power.
And I guess that's the part, maybe that's partly why they didn't have anybody show up, is because he is supposed to go get the Avengers and assemble them again. And the idea is like, he has to agree to do that, even though.
But Bray, think about Captain America. I mean, what was the movie? I forgot the movie before Captain Marvel, where Nick Fury is like, well, I know somebody. And he brings out a pager.
Yeah.
And like, you see the star on a pager.
Infinity War.
Which one is it? Infinity War. And it's like, yo, you can still set up like, hey, let me hit up Shang-Chi real quick. And then my man don't call him back. And at the end of the movie, it's like, hey, my bad, bro. And he's fighting a dragon or some shit. Like, I got busy.
What's the movie we get after Thunderbolts this year, though? There's another one after Thunderbolts, right?
Fantastic Four.
This year, and that's the summer. Is. And is that the last summer, yeah. one this year, or?
Yeah, so they're only doing 3 a year. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you can be like, yeah, you can have like Shang-Chi be like, hey, yo, bro, my bad, I was busy. What's up? Like, now you get to see him again.
We haven't seen Shang-Chi in like, so long.
Like, where he been, bro?
Where is he?
But the fact that they're keeping Daniel around makes me think we'll see him a lot more, you know, because Daniel
came out in 2021.
He's doing Spider-Man, and they had him doing Avengers.
He dropped out of one of them.
But he dropped Avengers. Out of, Avengers.
Okay, he's not dropped doing out of Avengers. Yeah, man. I'm like,
Shang-Chi dropped out of Avengers?
No,
the director.
Oh, director. Okay.
But I'm like, you could have been.
All right.
I don't know, man. Also, you got a Mexican Falcon, bro. You can't talk. We can't.
Or just a gentle reminder to draw that we did talk about it.
Slightly.
Gentle reminder that they do bring it up at the very end.
Man, so Danny Ramirez.
I was talking to somebody and I was talking about how much I liked the movie. And they were like, just so you know, I don't trust your opinion on movies anymore because of the stuff that you say about other things. And they were like, my friend told me that they that they booed at the end of the movie. And I was like, well, there is a scene at the end of the movie that is that you could boo at. But I wanted to like the movie too much. So I did not boo.
You know what it is? I always know, James. I'm like, if there's a movie that I walk out of. And I viscerally hate Maverick. It. And I read reviews of people hating it. I'm like, James about to love this movie. But if I ever walk out of a movie and I love it, and I read a review of people loving this movie, James is going to get on this podcast
one, though,
and be like,
this movie is different in that it actually checks boxes for me that I've been waiting for literally 13 years or however long it's been since 15 years. When was what's,
oh my
17
God,
years? 2008? Oh. How long ago was that? 17 years ago?
I'm not doing the math.
What did you guys think of Danny Ramirez as a...
I liked him in this, but a thing I did not like that they were doing predominantly with his character was they were using him for the like comic relief, and I just didn't think most of those things was funny. Like it was
I don't
like
think it was funny. At
same,
all, bro.
Yeah. And why was he so mean to Isaiah? My thing is, if he knows everything, he's like, "Oh my God, you're Isaiah Bradley." And it's like, if you knew about Isaiah Bradley,
you would
know
that's
what
that's
he looked
him.
Like.
Exactly. Yeah.
That makes no sense, bro. And also, if it wasn't him, he's gonna be mean to old black dudes. Like,
it was so strange that they were just like, "What jokes can we do?" Okay, yeah, jokes about him not understanding social media.
I just thought the introduction of this character was so poor. Like it did not make me. It was. I literally was like,
and the show does not help. I'll also
it's
say
just
that
like,
too.
Oh,
I don't
gotta
think
have
the show
Captain Falcon.
Yeah, Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for this. I shouldn't say I don't feel bad for him.
He's perfectly fine. He's going to be in Last of Us.
He was in Top Gun Maverick. He's great.
Oh, was he in Top Gun?
Yeah.
Yes.
I still haven't seen it.
But
you never seen Top Gun Maverick?
I still haven't seen it. But I still haven't seen the first Top Gun. So.
You want these, you want to like steal the, you know what I mean? Like when you get this stuff.
I thought he was,
but I'm talking about, I'm not talking about good. I'm talking about like, you want to like be like, people be like, who's that person? You know, like.
Yeah.
That's what happens in film. That's what happened in Maverick, Top Gun Maverick for Glenn Powell, right? Yeah. Like in Top Gun Maverick, people were like, this dude kind of, he got some, you know? I don't know. And then the other, who, did you guys know this character that the tiny
I
woman
didn't,
played?
But I have since
she
seen.
She is tiny.
Stuff about her.
She was brought to my attention. I don't know how to talk. Yeah, I don't know how to talk about this character, to be honest. So I'm gonna go quiet after this. I know of this character. Yes.
Okay.
I have seen people shitting on this actor in a way that I don't. I mean, you may know more about the character, but it's like, what do you mean, like? I don't know. We got this ex-widow and she'll
think
have
she was very
more
good.
Stuff. Okay. You didn't think she was good?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But, but I don't think she was like set up well. But yeah. This was another role where I was just like, what? Like,
So I think they did a rewrite because at one point she has on her character's colors and stuff and you can see like, you. I think she was in this movie when it was called New World Order for a particular reason. It was like, you know, I think it was very purposeful where she was from. And I think modern events happened and they had to like pivot. Is what I
think.
Yeah.
And so much of this movie, the way you just described what happened to her character, so much of this movie feels like that. It feels like this was some other movie. Like,
yeah.
This was just some other movie. and at some point, somebody, blah, 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 for whatever reasons, it got shifted in all these different ways. There's six writers or something like that on it. And people are, and you know, and when you hear people who don't understand film go, it took six writers to write that. It's like, no, it didn't. It doesn't take six writers to write one movie. But when creative ideas change. Sometimes you switch, you switch people that are at the helm of those things because it's taking such a drastic change. And so then at the end, you just, at the end product becomes this strange amalgamation that like you do have some people rightfully saying like, I don't like it for these reasons. And then you have other people who then have to like defend, you know, the small bits that managed to make it through. And it's really frustrating, you know, like that you can look at a character and go, yep, I get why they're here. Certainly not doing it. They're not doing the thing, you know, it's so frustrating.
Yeah. And yeah, I think, yeah, it just, again, I think this movie was tough because we do live in a world where like the moment Sam was given that shield, people were going to be mad, even though that was a comic president's for. We just live in like a straight up racist world. And so this, to me, it's like, if you're going to make this movie, you just got to double down in it. Like, I mean, if you watch Captain Marvel, there's literally a montage of her getting knocked down and standing up in slow motion, like to show like, you know, girl power. And like, yo, you got to just lean into it with this movie. Like, there's a black dude, there's a Mexican dude.
Yeah.
Like, we just in it, bro. Like, because even in the show, like you said, James, is like, when he goes back to Louisiana with his sister, they're dealing with like real life problems. Because what you talk about in the show is that superheroes don't get paid no money.
Yeah.
So like, he can't get a loan. And to me, the beauty of the comic was he had no money, no support. And he still was out here getting his ass. He was Spider-Man, but black, with no jokes. He was getting his ass whooped every day and getting shitted on by white people nonstop. Like, that was the bit.
And in this movie, everybody respects him, right? Like, everybody.
Yeah, everybody calls
everybody's
him
calling
Cap.
Like, people are super respectful. Like, I don't think anybody said anything.
It makes no sense.
The only thing that's really happening is, like, they're like, oh, but this guy was the guy who who did some bad stuff when he was a general, and then he also locked you up and Captain America. And so, like, this guy didn't like the other Captain America either. So him and Captain America just have problems, period. and it has nothing to do with who you are as a person or as Sam, right? And
makes no sense.
And so then the whole, and then like even the stuff with like the other, he's like, oh, well, he was experimented on and this person, it was like, but then I don't know, the movie then winds up not really even being about that. The movie is really just about like President Ross not wanting to be honest about the fact that he was
this movie
experimented
Bray.
On this other person. And
this movie was about Jennifer Ross. He had the redemption story. He had the character arc. I guess we can understand that Sam is like, at one point he questions whether or not he should have taken a super serum, but he knows he should be Cap. The whole movie, he knows he's Cap, bro.
And like, him questioning whether or not to take the super serum is spoon fed in. It's not what he's emotionally dealing with in this movie.
No,
at all.
And is he emotionally dealing with anything in the movie?
And
that is a significant part of the show is like super serums in the wind. You know, we have to give the super serum to the next Captain America. They give it to U.S. agent and. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating because it's like they literally do all of this stuff already.
Yeah,
they just did it already.
There is no, I would say there's a small emotional storyline for Cap, and that is essentially him wanting to do right by his mentor, who he maybe feels bad. Like he's like, oh, I brought him to the. But what's funny is that they actually don't even. They don't even push that button that hard. Like, because there's a time where the guy's like, oh, I should never have come. And like, Cap is like, Cap doesn't say, I'm sorry, this is all my fault. He doesn't say that at all. He's just like, I'm going to fix it. Don't worry about it. And it's just like, wait, I was like, shouldn't you feel more guilt about the fact that you dragged this man to an event that he did not want to go to? And he wound up right back in prison, like, which is the one thing he said he didn't want to do. And he's literally threatening to. It seems like he wants to kill himself before going back to prison, and you keep talking him down. And it's like the emotional weight of that is like barely played in the film, even. And technically it's supposed to be there, but I feel like it's barely played.
I agree.
Sorry, this is a sidebar. I referred to Tim Blake Nelson as the thinker. He is the leader. I just apologize for that crossover into DC Comics that I did earlier. Just needed to quickly apologize.
Giancarlo's character is called
how
Sidewinder.
Dare you?
Yes, and
Sidewinder.
I looked him up, and he doesn't.
They also had Seth Rollins from WWE in this as a part of the Serpent Society, but apparently he got cut out completely. Filmed everything and got completely cut out. Don't know why. Also, why does Giancarlo hate him so much?
Yeah, we don't really understand that. I was just saying, you know, Giancarlo was just such a good performer that he's, but
wasted. Bro?
He is kind of wasted. He has the best. I mean, that was my favorite fight scene in the movie. Was their small fight scene?
But my thing is, why would you get Giancarlo Esposito, who has been fank? Who? So this is my thing.
I hope they bring him back.
Bray, this is my thing. Bray, this is my thing. Is that we just talked about on this podcast how black people get cast and it's like an uproar. People, Caucasians even, have been so in love with this man. They're like, hey, that should be Professor X. You finally got everybody on the same page, baby. Because we all know if the world was different, Professor X would have been black. Like, you know, Stan Lee talks about it. We all know. Why would you waste him on this random ass part, bro? The voice, you put him in a little chair. Come on, man. Come on. Why did you waste him?
Yeah.
Oh, the movie gave me a headache.
All right.
I liked it before I started this podcast. I did. I genuinely liked it before we started this podcast until James told me that last scene, which I think I blacked out.
You just forgot about the last scene?
I think I did, bro. Like, I don't remember. Like, I remember them talking, but I was like, is it done yet?
I refused to let that last scene ruin the movie for me. Refused. And I'll tell you this. I'll also say this.
I'm glad you guys liked it.
I'll tell you this. I
Not no
my
more,
threads
bro.
Is all people talking about how great the movie is. one of the first ones I saw was somebody saying at the end of Captain America, and then quoted that line that he says about like feeling like he has to be perfect. And he said he started crying. He started crying in the theater after
no, no, no.
And so you know can't what? Say no. That take man them, actually felt that.
Take he, them tears back. Because if he would have had some scenes in there, if he had had scenes where he messed up one thing and it was like, oh, you're the worst Captain America. And we see him have to prove he has to be perfect.
That man didn't need those scenes.
Everything was. I'm so glad that because I'm sure that person, whoever cried, has watched all of the show and is maybe probably into the comics. And because I feel like you need it. You need this movie doesn't work if you are not bringing your own the history of the show and the characters and the relationships to it, because everything is told, not shown. Every time he's just like, oh yeah, like people, that's why it felt so meta to me when he was just like, yeah, I'm not Steve Rogers. And I'm like, literally nobody cares. I haven't seen you.
Not one person.
I haven't seen you not being Steve Rogers. I haven't seen one single person say something about that or treat you in a different way that feels like you aren't Captain America. It feels like you are very much Captain America. Everyone respects that. And the only problem is, I guess, maybe self-doubt at times, but it just didn't. I was just like, the movie doesn't show him struggling in that sense.
I'll also say that Captain America only really dealt with America problems in First Avenger. And then after that, it became very Steve Rogers' journey, you know? I mean, I know the Sokovia Accords and stuff dealt with the world, but it was still very much my friend is in trouble and I want to help my friend. And so that as the catalyst for his pain and his major conflict never really rang for me, even if there is comic precedent for it, because it doesn't feel like it's very present in the movies that Captain America is America and is American ideals and is, you know what I mean? It felt that was so long ago and that it's not even in the movies. And sure, that's your name. sure, your name is Captain America, but you know, I don't even feel like Steve has represented America in years. So you're fine, bro.
You're wrong.
you're fine.
Are fine.
I don't know. So sad. Anyway. I'm glad you liked it. We rate and review films not based on whether or not we liked it. Did it help the cause? Help the cause of more black actors in Hollywood. If it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If someone helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, I'm going to raise it up for Captain America Brave New World. One, two, three.
Y'all ain't shit.
All right, one black fist and two white palms.
Okay, yeah, no, but I will say why I gave it a black fist, because I don't disagree, actually. I think that this actually makes sense. But I gave it a black fist because, specifically for this reason, I have a lot of problems with how the movie was obviously manhandled behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I've been just watching Anthony Mackie on these press tours. And I love the fact that he is able to be comfortably on these press tours, knowing that this movie made back its primary budget and will potentially also make back the marketing budget, you know, and it's getting the kind of hate that you would expect it to get while also still making a ton of money and doing really well with audiences. And to me, I think that that's really strong for the movies, for how the movie is affecting the cause at large. You know, I think that it is doing better than it could have done. And looking at Marvel movies like this that are not Black Panther, it's doing exceptionally well. So big plus there.
Great.
I mean, I gave this movie palm. I'm not gonna lie to you. my soul wanted to give it nothing, but but it's not based on whether we like it. This movie got made. It is out in the theaters. We can see it. Little black kids can see a black cap. There's a black woman who's the president's bodyguard, but we never see her fight.
We see her.
I forgot to talk about her.
We see her shoot the Hulk.
She's in the movie. She's in so much in the movie, but it's like she had no character.
Hey, you know what?
I was just like, what? I don't even understand this.
Right. The more you talk about this, it's gonna make me change my vote. It's gonna make me change my vote.
It's about to be nothing.
Come on now. But this movie exists, and for it existing, it gets a pump. Because it exists.
Oh, brother. Okay. Well,
I started off liking this movie.
Nothing to add. I gave it a palm. You know why I gave it a palm.
You know.
Oh, man. He just gave up.
I don't know, man. Guys.
He officially gave up.
We gotta start. This stuff's gotta change, man. We can't be just accepting this stuff anymore. Anyway.
I mean,
we have Blacked in America. And y'all gave that a palm? Y'all gave Blacked in America a palm?
I know. It's so sad.
I know. And I want, James, I wanted to like it. Like, I wanted to see, like it.
And that's what it is. It has to do it. Because y'all, this movie made money. It stars Anthony Mackie. He don't star in a lot of movies. Stars Anthony Mackie. This helped the call. It check all the boxes.
Does it?
But that's all right. Does it show do? It showed number one in the box office two weeks in a row, making its money. Already passed its original budget.
Yeah, but not its budget. Not its budget plus marketing.
Okay, but
they
the budget
the hell
though.
Out of this film.
Yeah,
no,
but you
you're
know,
right.
They,
you're right. The audience reviews are good.
The audience reviews are better than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't on my threads. My threads is absurd. It's just a bunch of people yelling at anybody who doesn't like it.
That's great.
That's my whole threads.
I don't have threads.
Don't get on it.
Yeah, it's the same thing, isn't it? All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us at Blackman Podcast on Twitter or X and Instagram. Also, blackmanpodcast.com, we have our Patreon and Red Circle, our exclusive content. We drop episodes there once every other week. We just did an Oscars preview, talking, which is also kind of like 2024 year in review, where we talk about the award season, nominated movies, and the like. Anyway, we have a lot of great episodes. Check it out. $5 a month really helps keep this podcast free. If you're in, well, no, this is going to come out. Who knows if we won Cage Match again? I perform at UCB at Herald Night with a team called This Is She. So check out UCB's calendar.
Such a good
see
name.
Where This Is She is. Come out. I want out.
This is she.
Love that. On March 18th and 19th, you can come see my solo show. If I don't bail, who knows? I can't, but my soul wants to.
Wait, yeah, you've said that a few times. You're not going to, though, right? You're not really.
No, I can't.
Bail.
I can't. Okay. There's no way I can do it now. There's no way. But it's on March 18th and 19th at 7:30 at the Elysian in LA. Go to my IG, get the link. Apparently, tickets are open and people are buying them. So come through. Have fun.
Boom. James?
Follow me at James Third Comedy, 3RD. Follow me at Rule of Three Inc. if you're interested in comics and my political rants that I'm doing right now. Because I've
they're lost doing really
my mind.
Well, baby.
I've lost my.
They're doing great.
Mind.
Keep it up. Keep it up.
Well, so long as everything's held, you're just gonna. I can't help it. Just something happens, and I just start yelling. So here
listen,
we are.
I get it. All right.
Well, that's all. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most. perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.